Welcome to Paddling Adventures Radio. I'm Sean Rowley, and with me is Derek Spesh.
Yeah, hello.
How's it going, Derek?
You got really deep there when you said your name.
I'm Sean Rowley. I don't know. Let's get ready to rumble!
Yeah, got it right into a baritone there almost.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Ah, it's good. It's freezing in here tonight.
It isn't.
Studio City, isn't that it called? We are recording for Russia.
It's the same temperature it always is.
Well, maybe it's because I'm tired. I'm just cold tonight.
Well, alrighty. Maybe you're still thinking it's winter time.
Well, you know, it's been pretty darn cold out.
Oh, tell me about it. Figured it'd be warmer by now. But it has its warm days, and it's like we're about to get into summer. And then cold steps
yeah,
in.
I know.
It's like, I fooled ya.
Well, that'll be good for people who don't like bugs in the spring. It's going to push off the first hatch. Was there any bugs anywhere where you may have been in the recent
past?
Not
a single one.
Hmm.
We found a tick on the dog in our backyard, and that's the only bug I've seen.
Hmm.
Nothing. Nada. Zip. Zero.
That
zilch.
Reminds me, me and the kids went for a walk, and we were traipsing through an old field, and I never looked for ticks afterwards.
You could have... See, I thought that was just like a piece of food on your face. Could be a tick. So, I'm looking into it, because I was chit-chatting with Tim Foley from Canadian Outdoor Equipment on the weekend, and apparently there's a study that shows that it's some sort of friction, electron, neutron connection that makes the ticks draw towards.
I thought it was the heat.
Bodies. That no, is. I guess when you, it, I guess part of it is they get sucked over, basically.
So if you,
what? I gotta. He sent something. I
so
didn't
you
have
change
a
your
to
base
it.
Charge to a positive or a negative. The opposite. It'll just shed them.
Shoot them the other way. Well, and my thing was, remember how one of the things to deal with car sickness is to get rid of the static buildup, right?
Yep.
And one of the things is put those strips on the bottom of your car. So when they hit the road,
strips,
it discharges the static electricity.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, if you tied a pair of those onto your shoes and walked around, would it keep discharging you so that static electricity wouldn't attract?
Yeah.
Because it's just like rubbing a balloon on your head,
yep.
And when you pull it away, the hair attracts to the balloon. Apparently, it's that same sort of principle with the ticks and your body.
One of the things with, they use carbon black in vulcanized rubber for making tires, and for a period of time before they used that, the cars would build up a charge. And at one point, they were trying to come up with a alternate to natural vulcanized rubber. And the charges build up on vehicles was just crazy. And so people, you know, filling up a gas tank at the gas station. Oops.
Kaboom.
You know, yeah, so...
There was a kaboom, an earth-shattering kaboom.
So the carbon black is very good for dissipating the static charge when a car is moving.
So if you wear a pair of shoes made out of that while walking through the woods, it should continually...
Maybe.
See, this is another scientific thingy. I took my zebra shirt on the trip this weekend. But there was no bugs.
Yeah, no bugs.
So I didn't get a chance to test that scientific. I got a whole bunch of scientific theories.
Or maybe it actually did keep them away, and you would have been inundated without the shirt.
Maybe the zebra shirt attracts tornadoes.
Oh.
Which therefore eliminates the bugs.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, I got all these sciencey things to do out in the woods.
Sciencey things, just like flat earth theory and...
Right?
Sasquatch and...
Sam Squatch. His name's Sam. Big feet.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a big foot? Like just one leg on one of these creatures? No, they're big feet, not big foot.
They don't hop around on one leg?
No, no. They don't. Anyways, what'd you do this weekend? Anything fun and exciting?
yard work. It's all been busy yard work the last little while. We're a big project this spring is resetting the interlock brick around the house just because it's collapsing in, it's washing away underneath, so this gets a little bit, little sinkholes and whatever.
Right.
Like, if you look down my alley currently, half the bricks are pulled up, and because the air conditioner's there, I had to put a 2x6 across the alley, and so my AC unit is hovering about 8 to 10 inches off the ground.
Excellent.
It's just hovering there with straps.
Beside our house where air conditioning unit is, the weeds just kept, it doesn't matter what we did.
Oh.
So I, last spring, I laid down black plastic.
Oh, yes.
It's there all summer.
Stop the sun. It's
been there all winter. It's still there.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing should be growing now.
Theoretically, yeah.
Theoretically. I'm probably going to pick up that plastic and boing, 7 foot tall weeds.
Yeah.
Well, I, on the other hand, went north.
North. Go north, north, man. Go north.
When a group of paddlers are heading in for an early May canoe trip and one member can't make it and you have to run through your list of paddler friends and think about who would fit in. Recently, I was that friend that fit in.
And they picked you.
It's
a mystery.
It's a mystery to me, too. So Kevin Callan and a group were heading in for early May trout opener trip, and Chris from Nova Craft was not able to make it. So Kevin sent me a message saying, hey, are you available? I made myself available. That's how I found myself looking at a weather forecast listing rain, winds, and possible below zero temps and thinking I may have said yes a bit too eagerly.
What was I thinking?
However, as they say, even a bad day on the water is better than a good day at work.
Yep. And hypothermia feels good.
Yeah, gotta like it. The plan was to head up to Shirley Lake in Algonquin Park and do some trout fishing, some relaxing. There'd be six of us: Kevin Callan, Tim Foley of the Canadian Outdoor Equipment Company, Mike Kipp of Wilderness Paddle Works, Ashley, aka Speedo Man, a friend of Kevin's, and Kevin's partner Christine's son Jesse, and myself.
And you, yes.
Yes. So I left home at 5:30 on a Friday morning to head up and making a stop to pick up Ash and some coffee at Timmy's. Had a nice drive up. Now, I've met Ashley a couple times, but I've never spent a lot of time with him, so it was nice to sit with him for a few hours and chit-chat and get to know each other. We made it to the Shell Lake permit office just before 10 Friday morning. I keep thinking we left Thursday, but it was Friday. I got parking permits for the vehicles, got our gear to the put-in, loaded up the canoes, and we were on our way at 10:30. There's the emails that go around, and it just shows that, A, the difference in how people do things on canoe trips,
yep,
and B, compromise makes things go really well. The one email was, so what time does everybody want to meet at the put-in? And no one really said anything. And then someone said, I don't know, what about 10 o'clock? And I'm like, 10 o'clock, I'm like usually there when the permit office opens. So, but everybody else seemed to agree with 10. So, okay, I'm cool with that.
And they were all open. Everything was open because, yep, I heard there's like several dozen now. Most are further north. So I think in north end of Algonquin, some entry points are closed,
mm-hmm,
but there's been a lot of delays this year because of the late spring and, yep, the late ice out and a lot of snow in the backcountry. Did you guys see snow?
They went, well, Ash and I were busy catching fish. They walked up an old logging road at one point to,
oh, okay,
look for, this brook trout stream.
Ah.
And they saw some snow in the bush.
Mm-hmm.
So in the really cold places that get very little sun,
yeah,
you're going to still find patches of snow.
There's a face, but other north than that, and no, so on, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So Kevin and Jesse were in one canoe. Tim and Mike were in the second, and Ash and I were in the third. Only portage on the trip is a 1,020 meter from Crotch Lake to Shirley. Pretty flat, wide, couple up and down. You can take a canoe cart on this,
oh, yeah?
No problem.
Okay.
Yeah. Started the portage about 11, launched into Shirley at noon, right? So we did a double.
Mm-hmm.
So basically 3 kilometers,
yeah,
in an hour. So that's not too shabs. Of course, because we're just doing a base camp thing, you're taking a little bit extra things, a little bit heavier, and,
yeah,
and whatnot, right? We made it to the large campsite. If you look at Shirley Lake, north end, there's Ancona Bay. There's a really large island just before it. And there's one site on that island. We took that one, set up camp. Unfortunately, by the time we were done, the winds had picked up and it was a bit too windy to go out.
Mm-hmm.
That would sort of be the theme of the weekend. Ash made pulled pork and garlic bread for dinner.
Nice.
Which was nice. Sat around the fire relaxing, chatting, have a couple of beverages. And yeah, because we were all up so early, we just called it a night around 9:30. And yeah, it definitely, with the wind and the rain, it was a wind more so. It was comfortable around the fire when there was no wind. But once that wind started, just like cold wind coming across. And you're putting on, next thing you know, you're putting on another jacket and another jacket. Oh, well, I got my thermal underwear. I might as well put that on. And yeah, I was wearing my shoes. Man, I'm just going to put my boots on now. Oh, my God.
I went to bed with the life jacket on. You need some extra layers.
Oh, I tell you, I slept under the tent just for that extra layer. Saturday morning. So, yeah, Friday was just to get in there and relax sort of thing.
What time did you get to site?
We were there around 1-ish.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. So, except for the wind, you still had a full day left.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we can sit there and just, you know, like I say, chit-chatted. And, some of the people, like Tim, I see him at the shows or if I go to his store to buy something.
Hmm.
I don't see him outside. So, it's nice to sit there and spend more time than, you know, 10 minutes at his booth at the Outdoor Adventure Show.
You actually get a conversation in. And
yeah.
Like a real conversation.
Yeah. So the next morning, I did sausage and egg and cheese wraps for breakfast, a.k.a. a farmer's wrap from Tim Hortons. We were on the water for 9:30 to go do some fishing. Figured, I bet you like the rest of Algonquin, it's going to be afternoon winds. So yeah, we got up, gone to 9:30. We were out on the water. During the day there, I lost two lake
fish.
Trout,
And
I had one follow my lure right up to the boat. I don't know which is worse, having one on and losing it, or having one follow it right to the boat
and never
then going, I don't think so.
I don't trust you.
Right? I use barbless hooks.
Yeah.
So there is that more loss factor.
They can flick it out of their mouth. Yeah.
Yeah. It's more of a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
If I was on a trip where I had to rely on fish being part of my meal, I would probably use barbed hooks.
Oh, yeah.
But a lot of mine,
catch and release.
Yeah. I lost two and had one fall off to the boat. Ash caught a clam.
How do you do that?
I've caught them before, too.
Yeah?
Just going by and, I guess, just snag
skip
it
off
or
the
something.
Bottom. Yeah.
And it snags it. So we did circle the big island and explored a couple of bays. They were there last year, and there was a couple spots around the big island that we went and fished at. Oh, that's where we caught last year. That's where we caught them all last year. So we went and checked all that out, and then there was a couple of other bays. And there's a trick that I've used before when you're on lakes that you know have the lake trout.
Yeah.
If you see a dead head sticking out of the lake,
that's where you throw the hand grenade?
That's where you throw the hand grenade to get rid of it. No, that's where you get up next to it and you tie off.
And
you just float off of it. And that's where I lost my first one. And even Ash is like, ooh, hello. So yeah, that's where I lost my first one. After that, the winds were starting to come up and they were hitting us where we were, because we were sort of in a open section where that funneled the wind through. So we decided, you know what, we're going to zip over to where I've caught them on that lake before.
Yeah.
And so we cruised through, you know, trolling nicely along the way, hitting a couple little spots along the way and whatnot. And then I said, this is where we caught them before. And as we just trolled slowly about 50 feet off of shore, down the far shore from where we were.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Ash just nails one.
Hmm.
And yeah, it was a really nice trout. Got that one. Made a few more passes, but eventually headed back to camp for a late lunch. And Ashley was the only one that caught a fish that day.
Hmm.
everybody else got skunked. Found out the other four had walked up this logging road in search of a couple of brook trout spots that were supposed to exist, but they came back empty-handed. I think they walked a couple miles up this road and said, because this creek comes next to the road at a couple of spots. And they tried a couple of them, but there just wasn't anything. So we were thinking we'll go back out afterwards, but the wind started picking up and it started getting cold again. It was trying to rain with sprinkles on and off. And so we put up some of them went for took the opportunity to go for an afternoon nap.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew if I took a nap, I'm not sleeping at all that night. I'd rather stay awake in the afternoon and get a good night's sleep. So we're sitting there and the wind was coming in. So Mike had an extra tarp. So we put up the second tarp as a windbreak, and that really made a difference. And we just sat around the fire chatting and whatnot. And like I say, some of them took the opportunity for a nap and had some of our trail mix and homemade, beef jerky.
You made a whole bunch of jerky.
It was tasty as tasty.
It was very good.
So there's three phone companies. There's the Bell Cellular, there's the Telus, and the Rogers. And I'm not sure about Bell, but Telus has that satellite messenger SOS thing.
Oh.
Rogers has the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the Rogers phones seem to be the only ones that start doing those alarm bells. Like when there's a emergency.
So you guys didn't have cell signal?
Nope. Oh, no, there's no cell signal there.
It was definitely satellite push messages.
Yep. 6:15, the Rogers phones start blaring. Tornado warning.
Oh, nice.
We're all looking at each other. Okay, did anybody see any of this? There was nothing about ice, snow, and tornadoes.
Was it the screaming like a yellow alert or amber alert?
Yeah.
So, but it was like, uh-oh. And then, why are they going up? How do we get a signal?
Pretty much. Apparently, there's something with the Rogers one. You can actually send messages on the satellite on that phone.
But
I thought that was only in case of emergency you were supposed to use that. I don't know the full
of it. So. But we talked about it before, about 6 months ago.
So all of a sudden, we're getting tornado warnings.
What the heck?
We were watching the skies.
Hmm.
And you could see the rain just coming.
Oh.
And the wind and the rain, like torrential wind and rain. The thunder, lightning.
Yeah.
We were on the edge of it because we were just looking at maps when we came home. We were just east of that big swath of where the tornado warning was.
Yeah.
But we got a lot of wind and rain.
Hmm.
And it was just like, ooh. But I mean, when you're out there, you hunker down, stay under the tarps. You know, in my opinion, don't go in your tent because you can't see the stuff falling.
Hmm.
You know, like if you can, I mean, if you have no tarp, you got to take shelter somewhere.
Yeah. But
if you don't need to go in your tent because you can't see the branches falling.
It's true.
Right? So.
Crush you.
So we hunkered down under the tarps and tried to stay as warm as possible and as dry as possible and made the best of it. Jesse made jambalaya with garlic toast for dinner. Then the weather calmed down. And it was too late to go at that point. And we called it a night around 10 p.m. So, but it's nice just to sit around the fire and chit-chat. Yeah. Sunday morning, we were up for Kevin's French toast and bacon.
Nice.
He brought two packages of bacon. Got to have words with this man.
Why?
So you think maybe one package is enough?
Cook it all, man.
Well, that's what we ended up doing, and it disappeared.
It's like, was he going to bring it home?
Probably. No, you got two packs of garlic of bacon. Cook two packs of bacon. It all disappeared. Same with the bread he used was really good for the
French toast
as well. It was cold on and off with rain and cold breeze again. While we were waiting for the weather to clear up a bit, I went through the woods and was doing some photography stuff and whatnot. And, then we headed out for more fishing. We headed over to where Ashley had caught his trout the previous day, and he launched into another laker, bigger than the previous one.
Oh, nice.
Uh-huh. Mike and Tim were coming down that area, and as they got close to us, Mike caught one. So there's two fish that day. We continued down the shoreline, hitting a couple more spots, and I did catch a beauty of a 5-foot tree branch, but I practiced catch and release.
So you released the branch.
So I released the tree branch back into the wild. that thing, I just snagged it because I was trolling, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, and I guess because it, where I caught it, it was wobbling, so yeah, it felt like something fighting.
Yeah.
And they get up, geez. And I'm like, fish on. I got a fish on. All right, this is awesome. We're going to have three fish. And then comes this branch. I'm like, oh, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I'm releasing this one.
I'm releasing it. It's too skinny. the place where we kept going and Ash was catching his fish, I said, it's rude to go to another person's fishing hole and fish it while they're there.
Oh,
so
yeah,
you
yeah,
guys
yeah.
stay out of Ash Hole. I mean, it just wrote itself.
Yeah.
That's the Ash Hole. So, yeah, then, so they all headed back to shore, I guess. Mike and Tim, Kevin and Jesse headed back to shore to the camp. Mike and Tim decided they were going to try back around the island. And Ash and I kept going down, trying a couple of spots farther down the shoreline. Mm-hmm. And then the winds came up and the white cap started. So we figured we might want to head on back. We really had to buckle down to get back across the lake to our campsite. Had a nice late afternoon snack of two lake trout.
Nice.
Courtesy of Mike and Ash. I mean, it's not enough for to fill you, but it's a nice
snack
right? Yeah. And then the rain started again. Tim made a pasta dish for dinner. It's a pasta dish with chorizo, black olives, sun-dried tomatoes, and our new favorite,
Parmesan cheese.
Two bricks of it.
Nice.
Yeah. And, yeah, stir it all up and all. It was quite tasty. Sat around the fire trying to stay warm, relaxing, having a couple beverages, and called it a night around 10 as the temps were dropping. I believe it went below 0 Celsius overnight. Honestly, of all the nights to happen, it was the best night to happen. But at one point, I rolled over, and I just heard my zipper go, bzzk, and my sleeping bag zipper just ripped wide open. Broke the zipper itself. So my sleeping bag became a blanket all night. Did not have a great sleep. When I got up in the morning, Kevin looks at me and goes, you okay? I said, I'm going to rise. I am not going to shine.
Why am I reading? I'm losing track here. So we're talking three breakfasts now?
Yeah. Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Oh, you stayed Monday?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we stayed Monday.
Oh, now I get it. I thought you guys came back on Sunday.
No, this is a four-day.
You took a Monday off.
I took a Friday and a Monday off.
Mm.
Right?
I'm getting it now.
There you go.
I'm smelling what you're cooking.
All right.
I was confused. Was this like, I thought you came back on Sunday.
That's not hard.
Originally, I was thinking you guys went in early on a Thursday. But then you said, no, we went in early on a Friday.
Friday, yeah. So okay. That's why I kept thinking it was Friday, the third, because that's usually what I do is Thursday, Friday, yeah. Saturday, Sunday. Right? Because why am I going to take the Monday off? But no, the Monday is took the Monday off there instead of the Thursday.
So I was there. We were compiling up a big list of breakfasts. I'm thinking, is this Hobbiton? You guys are having second breakfast?
Second breakfast, yeah. Yeah. mid-morning snack?
Yeah. Okay, I get it now.
Elevensies? Then there was lunch. yeah, so this was Monday morning now.
Yes.
Monday morning, Mike made something called apple pie for breakfast. And I need to get this recipe. Basically, it's like rehydrated apples. There's raisins. There's brown sugar and cinnamon and something that he used for the dough. I don't know what it was. Mix it. It was like eating apple pie for breakfast, but not in pie format. I really need to get that recipe. After dinner or breakfast, we, you know, slowly packed up. There was no big hurry. We loaded up the canoe. Yeah. And the wind, just a bit of a slight tail breeze.
Nice.
The water, not really glass, but pretty close to being glass.
Yeah.
So it was going to be a nice paddle out. Clouds were, they went from solid, because when there's no definition, you know there's going to be something falling.
Yes.
Yeah. To them big fluffy. Then there's some open spots where you could see blue, and then went it back to the solid gray. It was all over. I don't think Mother Nature knew what she was doing. So then we loaded up the canoes and headed out. At one point, ice pellets were coming down out on the lake and on the portage.
Oh, so you did get some frozen precipitation.
We got the frozen precipitation. There's apparently, after we were leaving, there was supposed to be a snow storm on its way in.
Oh.
So we dodged that bullet. just dodged the tornado bullet.
Yes.
Fully dodged the snow bullet. There's slight cool breeze, there's sunny breaks and whatnot. We did the portage back in a crotch lake, made the takeout before 11:30 in the morning, and on the road home by noon. So it was a good weekend, pretty good weekend. I mean, despite the rain and the cold and the wind, that sort of thing, it was a good weekend to be out. Lots of laughs and great conversations. Nice to canoe trip with some new people and stuff like that, and see how... Because you do things a certain way.
Then
you go out with your regular
group.
You go out with your regular group, and you learn things from them. You take some of those things, and they take some things from you. And then you go out with a completely different group, and it's like, oh, that's what they're doing there. Well, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, that's a dumb way to do things.
How are you still alive? and you learn a few things and see a couple of new products that they use that you've maybe never seen before. Or, oh, yeah, that'd be a good thing to try out. Now, having said that, I never, ever, ever... all my years of paddling, take a big frying pan.
Oh, like cast iron?
With a hat? No, not cast. Oh, I'd never take a cast iron.
Hmm.
A big handled nonstick, like, what's that? Like a 15 inch?
Wow.
Frying pan.
Hmm.
Right? Never, ever. So I was going through Walmart getting a couple things and I saw, oh, look at that $20 frying pan. I bet you I could do all my eggs and that for the wraps. I'll grab it for $20, throw it on the fire when we're doing that, and I don't have to use it. I can just cook over the fire and do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That thing got so much use.
Oh, yeah?
Everybody's like, oh, man, I can't. That's awesome that you brought that.
Did they initially make fun of you?
No. Well, they didn't, but they were saying, oh, I wish we had a big frying pan.
I'm
like, like this one? Yes, like that one. It's actually... it's down here somewhere. I think it's in the big pile of gear that's still here.
Yeah.
Unput away. Gear gets half done at my house when I get home. I take out my clothes. I take out the food. I take out a couple things that need to be hung up. And the rest, screw it. Let's wait until the weekend. Like, I hope it's sunny this weekend because I got to dry out the tent.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. It's just one of those things I just happened to pick up and throw in the bag. And everybody's happy that I did.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know why I did.
It worked out.
Did, yeah. Again, nice to canoe trip with new people of the group. Nice to trip with people you know only get to see at like spring shows and stuff like that, or occasionally. So, I needed to get this trip out there.
It's nice to get out.
It really is. It's been too long since I've had a proper canoe trip over the last year and some. Because last year really didn't get any canoe trips.
Daughter moving and
We were in Japan last year for 3 weeks there, right? So. That took out the majority of our time, so we couldn't get any good, solid canoe trips in there. And then the year before, there was a few things. So it'd been about a year and a half since I've had a decent canoe trip. So definitely
good to get out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So have fun. So you didn't see any ice on any of the lakes?
Nope.
And just a little bit of snow deep in the woods?
Yep.
I thought there was going to be, like, honestly, when it was coming up to us, I'm seeing notifications on Ontario Parks websites about parks that are currently closed and delayed openings and so on. If you look, I went through Ontario Parks and you scroll through the names of all of the parks, and, like, there was at least a third of them that had red delayed opening notifications.
Yeah, I don't know why, because everything was
Tickety-boo.
Tickety-boo where we were.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right on. Excellent. I'm glad it worked out.
So am I. Mm-hmm. And then we're off to Tomogamy this weekend.
Right on. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Because it's a long weekend here.
Yeah.
Victoria Day weekend, so we're heading to Tomogamy for 3 days.
When did they do the change of the seasons?
September.
September.
Yeah. So, yeah, it'll be good.
Excellent.
What else? We got a few things here to talk about. Paddling the Dawn. I remember that. People used to do, are you going to do the Paddle the Dawn this year? Long-standing Toronto tradition could soon return to the Dawn River after a long hiatus.
It's been on a pause.
Yeah. Paddle the Dawn ran annually from 1993 to 2020, but was paused during the pandemic. The city is pushing to revive Paddle the Dawn, a popular event that saw hundreds of paddling enthusiasts canoe or kayak along the Dawn River to promote watershed awareness and environmental stewardship.
It's one of those things with a lot of, like, Paddle the Dawn or whatever. Like, there's a lot of events that happen year after year, and it just takes maybe a misstep in organization. Maybe a major organizer passes away or moves on to something else, and people quickly change habits when stuff disappears. So it's nice to see that this came back. It's been popular for quite a while. Mm-hmm. And so, hey, it's cool that it's coming back. Would they give the date for it?
2027.
So it's back next year.
Next year, yeah. Councillor Paula Fletcher says the timing is right to bring the event back after major flood protection and river restoration work at the Portlands. We have a brand new river mouth, she says. Wouldn't it be exciting to be able to take your canoe right down to the launching area near the inner harbor instead of into that Keating Channel, which was basically a walled zone? Toronto City Council recently approved a motion asking the Toronto and Region Conservation Authority, the TRCA, to explore bringing back Paddle the Dawn in 2027. In a statement, TRCA CEO John McKenzie says he's aware of the city's request, and while there are logistical considerations related to work in and around the Lower Dawn River, TRCA is committed to collaborating with the city and our partners to explore opportunities that promote environmental education, highlight the importance of healthy urban waterways, and enhance connections to regional river systems, including the Dawn River. Paddle the Dawn ran annually until 2020, was paused due to COVID-19 pandemic. Extensive construction linked to the Portland Flood Protection Project and broader operational safety and financial considerations associated with delivering the event. All that contributed to the pause. Longtime paddler Brian Jackson, the event's possible return is welcome news. I definitely worried it would never come back, he says. Jackson has participated in Paddle the Dawn 6 or 7 times, feels the event offers a rare point of view on Toronto's landscape. Paddling always does,
mm-hmm.
right?
Well, especially on a ground level, like a lot of people, there's always, you know, beaten trails. People could go and hike and do whatever, but to be at ground level, water level, mm-hmm. and running a river like the Dawn, it's a different perspective.
This is the one that runs right next to the Dawn Valley. So when you're driving down the Dawn Valley Parkway,
you don't really know what's there until there's a flood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I used to ride my bike down. There's paths that go right along. Mm-hmm. I used to ride my bike down that and back up a little. It's all uphill. So to actually get on the river would be pretty cool. He says, you're blending the wildlife and nature that Toronto has to offer with the urban landscapes. You look one direction, see the CN Tower, you're paddling under the Danforth, under subway tracks and GO train tracks. It's a unique perspective.
That'd be amazing.
Also said the event fostered a strong sense of community with volunteers helping paddlers navigate portages and rapids along the route. And I think there's one or two small weirs you have to portage around. It made you feel more connected with the other citizens of Toronto. He's also excited to see the results of the Portland's flood protection
project. The changes.
Yeah. The restoration efforts began in 2017 with work reshaping the Lower Dawn River into a more naturalized waterway designed to reduce flood risk in Toronto's east while restoring wildlife habitat and public access to the waterfront, which is beautiful. Fletcher feels Battle of the Dawn would be a great opportunity to show off all those improvements. This was a billion-dollar project with three levels of government, exploring that all the way from Sunnybrook Park right down to the Inner Harbor would probably be one of the most exciting things people can think about doing. Councillor also pointed to ecological restoration efforts along the river, including the replanting of native species grown from seeds believed to have been dormant for more than a century. Fletcher acknowledged that reviving Paddle of Dawn would require coordination among multiple partners and likely a major sponsor, but she remains optimistic. If we can build a new river mouth, we can get people down it in canoes, she says. All you need is that one partner to say, hey, yeah, let's do this. So Paddle of the Dawn is a 10.5-kilometer urban paddling route in Toronto's Dawn River, usually held as a special organized event that flows from Ernest Thompson Seton Park to the West Dawnlands. It features unique urban views, moderate rapids, and requires portaging around small dams. The launch site is Ernest Thompson Seton Park near Leslie Street and Eglinton Ave. Takeout point is Corktown Common, the base of Bayview Ave, approximately 10.5 kilometers. Some of the highlights are paddling under the Bloor Viaduct, Pottery Road Bridge, and through downtown scenic areas. And the hazards include 12 hazards, such as weirs, shallow spots, sharp turns, often marked during the official event.
Very cool.
So it'll be interesting to see if they can actually get this up and going for next year. Because I think it's usually held in May or June.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
They didn't say the month.
But. No, but I'm sure it's, I'm pretty sure it's either late May or early June that they hold this. Because the water's still high. Because there's times of the year when that water goes down and it's too shallow to paddle.
Exactly. Yeah. Like July, August, whatever.
Yeah. So hopefully next year we'll be paddling the Dawn River.
So I'm curious. So they talk about ecological restoration. So they're doing this along the Dawn Valley River. So the Dawn River. They talk about dormant seeds that were more than a century old. And whereabouts do you find 100-year-old seeds from native flowering plants and native plants? Did somebody just...
Hey, look at these.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, I have no idea.
That fascinates me that somebody had... So they found some native species grown from seeds that they believed to have been dormant for more than a century.
Yeah.
They must have been in a collection somewhere.
Had to be.
Interesting.
Or there, yeah, somebody must have just had a ton of them there ready to plant back.
It reminds me, the scientist is like, it was one of those things. It's like, hey, we found in the ice 40,000-year-old viruses. We found this in the ice from 50,000 years. So anyways, one of the things they found is like, hey, don't play with the past like this. Be more careful. Right. But anyways, they did find in the intestines of a squirrel that it had passed away very shortly after eating the seeds. And I think they estimated at 15,000 to 20,000-year-old viable seeds in this squirrel's belly. And they planted them last summer, and they grew. Little white flowers came from the plant, little tiny low-level, like, something you'd see up at a high, up-high meadow-type plant.
Right.
So they grew it out of the seeds they found in the belly of a dead squirrel that was, like, 15,000 years old.
I hope they called it the dead squirrel plant, something like that.
That is dead squirrel scrolls.
Right?
So, anyways, it's interesting to find old seeds, and especially considering they can still be viable. Mm-hmm. It gives you hope for the, I can't remember, I think it's in Iceland, is it Iceland?
Greenland? The big seed vault?
The big seed vault, yeah. They've got trees and plants and flowers and food, you name it. Interesting.
Maybe somebody went there and raided the 100-year-old
seeds. Hey, we need to pull some.
If you're looking for your seeds, I might know where they are.
Maybe.
We've been outed.
Interesting, though, to bring back the 100-year-old flora and fauna type thing. Well, not fauna.
Yeah, you don't want dinosaurs out here.
Oh, so that reminds me. I heard somebody, there was a talking point the other day. They goes, chicken tastes like chicken. People claim that crocodile tastes like chicken. Now, they're both descendants of the dinosaurs. So, did dinosaurs taste like chicken?
Maybe.
So, now what we can say is, hey, this tastes like chicken. No, it tastes like dinosaur.
Right? I just think that they need to somehow do a genetic thing where they can adapt platypuses to Canada in winter.
Oh,
could you imagine going paddling the Dawn and seeing platypuses? Like really furry.
Yeah, really weird.
White.
Yeah.
Polar bear looking platypuses.
With toxic dew claws.
Yeah.
With poisonous dew claws.
Yeah. It's like, uh-oh. Finally, we got something in the water that'll kill people.
Yes. Don't pet these.
Everybody else has got the sharks and the stingrays and
we have nothing.
Whales and all that. So we got nothing. No, we got the polar platypus.
Well, we do have the Massasauga rattler, but they're too shy to bite.
Yeah, and they're only in certain areas.
Yeah.
Excellent. So, yeah, keep an eye out for the Paddle of the Dawn next spring.
Should be cool.
Speaking of paddling places, the Adirondack Paddling Symposium is returning to Saranac Lake the weekend of June 12th and 15th, so a few weeks from now. Presented by NRS and the Northern Forest Canoe Trail, Symposium is a comprehensive weekend of paddling instruction with experienced coaching staff. Courses cater to all skill levels, beginner, intermediate, and advanced. Course tracks are set up for kayaks, pack boats, and canoes. The Harriettstown Hall in downtown Saranac Lake serves as the symposium's headquarters for evening meals and programs, while daytime clinics take place on the area's lakes and rivers. Symposium is a great place if you're looking to improve your paddling skill sets, as organizer Danny Mungno, field marketing manager at NRS and a Lake Placid-based paddle sports enthusiast. Just making some minor technique changes can build your confidence and increase your enjoyment on the water. Symposium begins Friday, June 12th, with introductions, meet and greet, gear outfitting, dinner, and evening programming. Sounds fun.
Mm-hmm.
Additional instruction takes place Saturday and Sunday, June 13th and 14th, with optional tours on Monday, June 15th. Instruction, and see, I would stay for the Monday, because that means I just don't have to fight traffic back on the Sunday.
Yes, exactly.
And that would be the full purpose of, yeah, well, there's stuff happening Monday, so that just means I don't have to fight traffic. So, yep, staying for the Monday, doing some more paddling. Instruction takes place on land and on local water bodies, including Lower Saranac Lake, the Saranac River, Lake Colby, Lake Flower. For skill sets like bracing, rolling, and rescues, pools are utilized for a more controlled learning environment. They got enough pools in the area to use them. May as well.
Mm-hmm.
This time of year as well, people will probably be happier practicing rolls in a nice warm pool as opposed to the local lake. But that's just me. Symposium not only supports paddlers as they build their skills and confidence on the water, it brings people together to connect with each other and strengthen our paddling community, says Northern Forest Canoe Trail Executive Director Carrie Thomas. We feel like this is one of the most important things we do. For more information, including registration, details on lodging, courses, gear rentals, and more, visit AdirondackPaddlingSymposium.com. The Adirondack Paddling Symposium takes place during Celebrate Paddling ADK, a season-long festival featuring presentations and discussions at local establishments, river cleanups, and paddling activities on nearby waters. To learn more and for a full schedule of activities, visit CelebratePaddlingADK.com.
It's Saranac Lake. I did a little bit of a deep dive into the area because it's like Saranac Lake. It sounds familiar. Well, it wasn't familiar.
You're thinking of Sarlacc from Star Wars.
No.
The great Sarlacc Anyways, pit.
It just kind of, my first thought was, hey, is that where Dirty Dancing was filmed? It wasn't. But Saranac Lake is the name of the city It's Saranac River. Saranac Lake is the city, and the local lakes are Lake Colboy and Lake Colby and Lake Flower. But Saranac Lake, that city, back in the 20s, that's where the silent movies. Yeah, so there was a big studio in Saranac Lake where they used to film all these silent films back in the 20s and stuff, right?
Really?
Way back when, yeah.
Like the old Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is where it was done. And if you look at the location of this symposium, it's a really huge municipal building, all brick and stonework, and it's like, oh, that's really cool. It's a really nice little town. I kind of drove through it on Google Maps, and so I was trying to figure out. I did find it, Dirty Dancing was not even filmed even close to this, different state, but it was interesting. It's going to be. I would be very interested in checking out this symposium when it comes
in like 3 weeks.
Well, no, for next year. It's too soon for this year,
right? So, yeah, AdirondackPaddlingSymposium.com if you want some more information on that. And CelebratePaddlingADK.com for their schedule of activities for the rest of the year.
Hmm.
Sounds cool. So, my daughter over in Japan had her birthday on Friday. And her friends pooled their money together and got her a new inflatable stand-up paddleboard.
Right on.
Right?
Does she have local waterways?
She does. And apparently there's an expat American that lives about an hour from her on this one lake. Mm-hmm. And he teaches stand-up paddleboarding.
Oh, right on.
So she's going to contact him and see the lessons and all that. She's going to take lessons and stuff. What was it here? Half the stuff is in English and half of it's in Japanese. It is Advenor? Paddleboard.
Oh, the paddleboard you're talking about. Yeah.
11 feet long, 33 inches wide, 6 inches thick, ultra wide inflatable stand-up paddleboard, includes adjustable paddle, backpack, waterproof bag, leash, hand pump, repair kit. Apparently, it comes with a phone protection bag.
Oh,
there you go. For your cell phone. Extra wide, longer design to improve your balance. So the research this one shows is that it's good for a beginner for the first few years. Yeah. If you're just learning, it's extra stable, extra heavy duty. So you're not going to, you know, get on it and then keep falling off to the point where you're like, yes, forget this, man.
And it's inflatable. So it fits in tiny Japanese cars and tiny Japanese apartments.
Yep. I was chit-chatting with her this morning and, hey, you want to see something? Because we do the video calling. Yep. I said, what? She says, hang on a second. And then she goes away and then she walks back and she's got a backpack on. With this inflatable stand-up paddleboard inside. Cool. So, yeah, it goes down nicely. There is a pump.
Yep.
Hand double pump. Action pump. Quick inflation and deflation, 10 to 15 minutes. She has since ordered, because she pumped it up. She says, I am not doing that every time. So I'm going to have muscles like boulders just on her arms.
Yeah.
So she's ordered an inflator.
Electric one.
Electric one, yeah. It apparently will inflate it with the charge it holds, will inflate it 5 times.
Oh, right on.
So she's ordered that. She's ordering herself a life jacket, the whole deal. And when the warmer water is here, she'll be all ready to go. So she was quite ecstatic with that.
Yeah.
She's not one that likes to show her emotions, but one of her friends took a video and sent it to us, and she opened up the box, and she looked at it and what it was, and she just sat there looking, didn't say anything, and they thought that maybe she wasn't excited about it. She was trying not to cry. She was just that happy. So We got some choice words thrown at us from her. Sneaky. And because they told her, yeah, we called your dad.
Oh, yeah,
because if anybody was going to know, because there, but there's some, I was looking at some paddleboards here, which you can't get there in Japan, and ones that are similar, or they're sold under a different name or something like that. So the one they got her, I think will do her really well for a beginner paddleboarder and stuff like that. So, the reason I bring that up is, Knoll Beach in Studland, is the first beach in Dorset,
UK,
in UK, and the first National Trust property anywhere in the UK to install an automatic paddleboard pump, offering visitors a quicker and easier way to get out on the water.
So it's like a walk-up. It's an installed pumping station.
You know when you go to the gas station and there's the pump? Power pumps. It's a bit more funky than that.
Yeah.
Right? But self-service station operated by Blow Me SUP and the National Trust allows stand-up paddle boarders to inflate their boards in around 5 minutes.
Wow.
Cutting out the physical effort of manually pumping up the board. Which you're thinking, okay, whatever, but the machine costs £4 to use, which is at like $8. For 10 minutes, enough time to inflate up to two standard boards, and after operational costs, proceeds will go to supporting the National Trust's work at Studland. Safety guidance is printed on the station, but Blow Me SUP executives are already in the early stage talks with RNLI to have larger information boards produced to stand next to the machines to promote responsible use of paddle boards. Blow Me SUP founder Howard Day says the installation is part of a growing network of inflation stations appearing at waterside locations across the UK, but that Knoll Beach is the first both for Dorset and the National Trust. National Trust owns the pump at Knoll Beach. We installed it and manage it on their behalf, so it's a joint effort. We informed the company last year and installed a few in Devon, Cornwall, and Wales, and it's our belief that these will become more and more popular. Paddleboarding is the largest growing water sport and potentially the largest growing participant sport out there now, Day says. Like something like this, I could see happening in downtown Toronto and around the GTA.
Yep.
From the venue's point of view, a pump has the potential to make them a little bit of money, but also has the potential to draw people to the site to use the pump.
Yeah.
It was set up quite early in the season, and although a few people are using it already, it's not quite paddleboard season yet, but they are looking to do a free use day on Saturday, May 24th, weather depending, for anyone who wants to come down and use the pump. So that way they'll get somebody there to show them, here's how you use it, so that when they come later on, they automatically know. My thing was, I wonder if it would not just paddleboards, but will it inflate your inflatable kayaks and canoes as well?
Well, I imagine like there's a very specific pump connection for stand-up paddle boards. So I'm not sure what else uses that same connection.
I know the one at Ariana's has about 7-8 different nozzles, the pump that comes with hers.
Yeah.
So I think it's a matter if you've got the pump that connects and connects. That'd be interesting to find out. If you're a regular paddleboarder and already have your own electric pump, it's probably not for you. But if you're a parent heading down to Studland with a couple of children and three boards, you can easily spend 45 minutes pumping them up before you even get on the water. And by then, you're exhausted. That's what Ariana says, like 15, 20 minutes pumping this thing up. Then you got to get on a paddle?
Yeah, I'm done. I'm already done with the day. Yeah,
forget it. I'm getting out there 10 feet offshore and just laying down. Going to have a nap. There is a downside to stand-up paddle boarding now that anyone can go and buy one easily, which is that anything inflatable in the water can be dangerous, and you need to stay safe while using them. Our inflation station carries safety guidance, encouraging users to follow the four basic safety principles. Wear a personal flotation device, use a correct leash, watch for obstructions, and carry a telephone in a waterproof pouch. We are in early stage talks with RNLI to see whether they will go farther and create education boards to go by these pumps for people to read while they're inflating their paddle boards. They are a captive audience for that time. They can read and learn. There's a pretty good idea. Emma Wright, Visitor Operations Experience Manager at Studland, said, Studland offers a sheltered bay that's perfect for getting out and enjoying nature. The new station cuts out the effort of inflating equipment, so visitors can make the most of their time here. It is a great idea and will make the most make the process of getting on the water much more enjoyable and help preserve energy, but we do need to stress that conditions on the sea can change rapidly and simple safety steps save lives. Pumps carry four-point safety code using the acronym PLOT, P-L-O-T, to make sure every paddler from first-timers to seasonal pros hits the water with the right mindset. So P, personal flotation device. As a minimum paddleboarding safety requirement, users should wear a 50-newton buoyancy aid, even in rivers where it will give essential support if paddleboarders end up in the water. L for leash. The leash ensures users don't get separated from their boards if they fall off. Where there is a flow from a river or tide, it is important to have the waist leash, which can quickly release if required. O, obstructions. Consider potential hazards. When paddling inland, stay at least two board lengths away from moored boats, bridge pillars, and other obstructions. At the coast, check the tide times and weather forecasts and avoid launching in offshore wind conditions. T for telephone. Phones are essential and should be placed in a waterproof pouch and kept inside your buoyancy aid. Save emergency contact numbers and load the What Three Words location app on the phone before heading out.
It's becoming more and more common, the What Three Words thing.
Yep. I remember talking about that when it just started, and now everybody's using it. That's pretty cool. Go to blowmesup.co.uk for more info and to see the new pumps. Because they got a picture of them there, which is pretty cool. So, yeah.
It reminds me of on the local trails on the waterfront, I came across, I didn't even know they existed, but there is a bicycle repair stand sitting there in the parking lot, and it's got power, so it's you can pump up your tires with it. But it's also got all the key critical wrenches and tire repair things. Everything is hooked by chain.
Right.
But the stand is sitting there. It's a big square metal box, and you flip a big lever, and it starts pumping, and it's got all the tools that you would need to pull a tire, to open up a crank set, to change a tire, to pull off the tire, to do a tire repair. It's all right there. It's all attached. It's pretty cool. It's a good idea right there on the bike trail.
Yeah. Well, I'd say if you're down at the waterfront and you want to go out, then something like this is going to be pretty cool to put out there and
right?
Different spots in Toronto or whatever and city you're in.
It does make a difference. So when we went with Warren, he had an electric pump, didn't he? Or did we all pump by hand? I can't remember.
No, he had the pumps already, but you know, he had the electric ones.
Yeah. And it does make a difference if you're sitting there and so you're geared up probably in a dry suit or wetsuit or something because it was early in late in season that year. But it was you can imagine getting all sweaty and hot inside your dry suit or wetsuit going out and
no, thank you.
So yeah, it's handy that they're putting these things in for it's going to draw more people, make it easier for people to get out and simpler to pump up their boards before they hit the water. So it's a great idea.
Yeah, like you say, you don't want to be totally out of breath and feeling like crap. Then you've got to start paddling.
But it's also simply just a convenience thing. It makes it more convenient.
Yeah, something like that, I don't mind paying. I mean, that's not a massive amount.
No,
but
it's not.
They're charging you $12 or something. That's a bit of an issue.
What is it now? It's the basic cost to pump up a tire is like $2.50, $3 or something?
Something like that, yeah. But you can do all four tires, too.
You can, yes.
So... Yeah. So, blowmesup.co.uk if you want to see, get more information and see these pumps. And yeah, hopefully we'll start seeing them around here soon.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's a business for you.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah. That's all I got this week. You got anything else?
What did I send you something today? There's a Canadian woman who won the 500 meter kayaking because the Worlds is going on right now. The ICF Worlds.
Yeah.
So there's a Canadian woman from what province? Anyway, so she won that. Do you remember? I can't remember. I didn't send it to myself. I only sent it to you.
Oh, I don't know. Today was my first day back.
Okay.
So there was. I think I had about. When I walked in this morning, I think there were 76, 78 emails.
Mm-hmm. So anyways, there's a lot of stuff going on with the Worlds, ICF Worlds going on right now. And a Canadian woman won one of the 500 meter races. So,
excellent.
So yay.
Woohoo. Yay, yes. Awesome. You got anything else?
I do not. I just had that. I wish I had more information on it because I've just a bare mention. I don't even know the poor woman's name. Maybe I'll mention it next week.
Yeah, find the information again. Mm-hmm. I'm sure by that time I'll get through all my emails and probably find it.
Yeah.
It is raining outside, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah.
Excellent.
It's five degrees.
It'll wash the bird poop off my car.
Probably not. I got to take off all the roof racks and everything and give my truck. Got to run it through the car wash. It's filthy. Alrighty then. If you want to find out more about us, you can go to our website at paddlingadventuresradio.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. You can stream or download all our episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Player FM, Podbean, Amazon Music, and all your favorite podcast downloading sites. Or you can just go to the episode page at paddlingadventuresradio.com and stream or download all our episodes there. If you enjoy the podcast, please share it with your friends, families, and fellow paddlers. I want to thank everybody for listening this week. I'm Sean Rowley.
And I'm Derek Specht. We'll see you next time.